I think that you're doing a pretty awesome job worshiping. But I believe we can take it up a notch. How many of you know that He's not only the God of the Bible, He's the God of the present? And if the things that we're believing for, if they're, the Word says if we just have hope of Christ in this life, we're of all men most miserable. But it's not just in this life, it's in the world to come. But in this world, it's not just in the sweet by and by that we get our miracles. It's present. We're not going to need any miracles there. Mockley, we keep saying, is in revival and all these miracles are taking place. Do you know that He's doing them right now? I said, did you know that He's doing them right now? What we're calling on God for is taking place presently. See this man. Hallelujah. We have been praying. Barbara, come over here. We've been praying for months and months for one of our family members. I'm talking about the Family Prayer Center members. That's Miss Callie Pearl. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Amen. She basically, in the natural, got one of those sentences of death, really. Started out cancer in her colon. Then they found it in her liver. And without a miracle, she was going to be with the Lord. I want you to hear what He's been doing presently, not when revival gets here in full blown. I'm talking about right now. Hallelujah. Listen, give us a report.
I talk to Miss Callie every Sunday as I'm coming to church. And last week she went to Tampa for tests, and the test came back no cancer. She is cancer free. No more chemo. The enemy tried to tell her through doctors that she was falling apart, that her heart wasn't working right. There was nothing right about her. She was gonna die, but we know better. And she held strong through these last 7 months, and she just has to have some minor surgery on her colon, and then she is home. Hallelujah.
Praise God. So there's something in the colon that needs to be some scar tissue. Is that what she says? Okay, wonderful. If you're not standing, would you stand on that?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Now, you could say, well, it was the chemo. No, it was way past chemo. Chemo wasn't going to take care of all this.
No.
It wasn't going to take care of all this. People have chemo all the time and still don't make it. Thank God. Would you just lift those hands and just magnify Him? Father, we glorify You. I exalt You and praise and worship You. And thank You, Father, for You are the miracle worker. And we worship You. We give You all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another notable miracle. We worship You, Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. I'm sure there's more worship in us. Right now, why don't you give somebody a great big hug? Tell them that's a good way to start a Sunday service. That kind of report. Hallelujah. Saul is with us again today. He got born again last week. Hallelujah. He worked with me and my father on a construction crew 20 years ago. And so he come here. 20 years later, God gave us the grace to get him born again last week. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. I can see it in your face. I really can. There's a difference. Praise God. He knows there's a difference. He's smiling, saying yes. Hallelujah. We have a very special guest with us this morning, and it is one of our ordained ministers, and that's Miss Loretta Cole. Would you give her a great big hand?
Yes. Good morning. Pastor Bronk asked me last night if I would share a few minutes, and
I was thinking, everybody has a different idea of what a few minutes is. You know, it's like the size of a room. You know, a 10 by 10 could be big or, but anyways, I'll keep it to God's few minutes. I just want to share a little bit. I pastor a church in Ocala, a real big church. If everybody showed up at once, there's 7 people there. But you know what? Ocala's in revival. The atmosphere in Ocala is changing every time we come together. We're being transformed every time we come together. I just want to share a little bit of something that's been going on with me recently. I've taught people to pray. I've taught people to worship. I've taught people to fast. I've taught people to confess the word, to assimilate the word, to meditate the word. What didn't I teach people? To give. There was so much stuff, I guess, in me from past watching abuses take place in finances, watching single moms give their last nickel and not feed their children, and their children wonder who this God is, because we're being told that we have to tithe no matter what, we have to tithe, instead of being taught that they have an inheritance, yes, that everything God has is already theirs. A few weeks ago, well, Gary Carpenter, you know Gary Carpenter was there, and he said something under his breath. I haven't even had an opportunity to share it with him yet. And then he wouldn't even remember that he said it. He's probably the only guest minister that goes to a church and gives an offering. But he's in so many churches that he probably doesn't remember that I normally only took one offering. And truthfully, even with this new revelation, probably without the guidance of God, next year I'll probably still just take an offering for him. But he was expecting an offering for the church, and then an offering for the guest minister. And so he had a check already, and when he realized I was just doing the offering for the guest minister, under his breath he says, "What kind of a church is this that you don't take offerings?" And of course, let it go, and I just went on to what I was doing. And it just pierced me. It's like, what kind of a church is this that I wasn't receiving offerings? And I knew that it was my issue. I knew it wasn't the people. It was my issue. And so I had to get with God. And you know how recent this is. He was just here last month. So I started seeking and asking and telling God why was I uncomfortable receiving an offering for his kingdom. And obviously it was from lack of understanding. So I'm not going to go into everything regarding it. I just want to share some truth about giving. Just as you pray, just as you worship, just as you fast, just as you confess the word, assimilate the word, meditate the word, Christians are to give. We are to be givers. That needs to be our heart. And so I had to get me out of the way and see the kingdom, see what was happening in the kingdom. And I'm not like Homer, so I don't have the verses all memorized. It's wonderful. When he was up in April, he taught on 1 John without opening the Bible, quote after quote after quote. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7, hallelujah, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So it says, therefore, verse 24. So we could say, what is the therefore? Therefore, a whole bunch of stuff in chapter 5, 6, and 7, that therefore is therefore. Whoever hears these saying of mine and does them will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. Well, the one truth that I want to go to is in chapter 6. Lay not up treasures upon the earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we show ourselves where our heart is by our giving. We can pretend anything. We can talk anything. We can say for this reason, for that reason, for that reason, we're not givers. Where your treasure is where your heart is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. His righteousness being added to the kingdom, his people, more and more souls being born again as we give. Our pastors are going to Kenya next month, August, just a little over a month away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the things that the world seeks after, all the things that we Christians think about that we know we have need of, the electricity being turned on, keeping the electricity turned on, all these things will be added to us as we seek first the kingdom. I encourage you. And, you know, the two verses that I've always used, and anybody who's come up to Ocala and heard me do an offering when Pastor Bronk was there or when Homer was there, I've always used the same two verses, and those two verses are one verse, and it's the truth still, no matter what. Give as you purpose in your heart, not begrudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But there's so much more. Give, and it's give it. If there's nothing in your heart to give, then check your heart and find out why. And it isn't so much the dollar amount as it is giving of your treasure, giving up Dunkin' Donuts coffee to put that in. What, it's so wonderful Immokalee has Dunkin' Donuts. This is amazing. It's like the biggest. I've never been a Starbucks person. It's always been Dunkin' Donuts coffee, so. That's a wonderful thing. But give today as you purpose in your heart. And the other New Testament way to give is if God's speaking a certain amount to you, then we give that way. So does the offering for Kenya, is it, you want it marked separate, or do they just, if you would, obviously y'all know the Family Prayer Center to make the checks to, and mark it Kenya for Kenya, and then the other regular offerings. Hallelujah.
Get some offering baskets out here that we didn't have. So why don't you just go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask you to just speak to our hearts individually. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us, Lord, what you'd have us to give. We give you all the praise, Jesus. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you just a moment. Why don't you just stand one more time with us? This morning we're going to have receive communion together, so we're going to start getting ready towards that. But if you miss somebody in that first greeting, you could say hi just for a second, but not long. But go ahead and bring this down if you have something. Bless you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.
Be not afraid in this day that we're living in. For there is a fear that is crossing America, it's crossing the world, and it's crossing people to be afraid. You shall not be afraid, for I have said, fear not, for I am the Lord thy God, and in thee I can do all things. All things are possible through him who believes. I will do what you say, what my word says. Forget not those that are suffering around the world today. There are things happening and you're not even realizing or getting serious about it. I am coming soon. You have heard that. We have heard that for so long until we actually say it, but in our heart, it's not there. In your heart, say, I am coming. He is coming, and he is coming after a people that will trust him, believe in him, and lean not to their own understanding, but acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will bring it to pass. I will bring what I have said. My word is true, and I will do what my word says.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we know this. Perfect love casts out fear. I want you to lift your hands and thank him. Because we're on a collision course to a love that has no fear in it. We worship you, Jesus. Nonde Christia, curabalo Christi. Oh, Jesus, e keratio, fedesque die. It's on this rock that I'll build my church, saith the Spirit of grace. The rock of the revelation of who he is and what he is in you, to you, through you. So stand upon that revelation and hold that revelation in highest regards, and I'll build upon it line on line and precept on precept in you until all your enemies become your footstool. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Baso kereste, yes, sir. Saith the Spirit of grace. Keresia tola. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Loretta was talking about building our house. She was reading that scripture about building our house upon a rock. And building our house upon a rock was to do his sayings. It was to do his sayings. Well, she's right. 5, 6, and 7 have a lot of his sayings in there, but the crux, really the heart of all his sayings, is found in that place where he says this, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun, that's the S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you have more than the others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, our perfection came in this. We love our enemies. We love our enemies as we love ourselves. There's nothing hardly that neutralizes the devil any stronger than walking in that place where you choose to love your enemies and those who have done despitefully against you. Turn with me to John chapter 13. We'll just read there for a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we're right before the crucifixion. We're getting ready this morning to have communion, to receive from the Lord. The Bible says in verse 1 that it was before the feast of the Passover when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he arises from supper, and laid aside his garment, and took the towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and saith unto him, Lord, or Simon saith unto him, Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not except to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garment, and was set down again, and he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, it says, King James, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, know what? Know what the example that he just set in front of them. Happy are ye if you do them. Well, this was this foot washing was part of the first communion, because at that particular time they had a communion service. The other Gospels, we find that he broke the bread and he said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink it, and do it in remembrance of me. So it was part of the original. It was part of the beginning. What was part of that beginning communion service was a washing of the disciples' feet. He said, if I'm your Lord and I'll do this, that you should do the same. Happy are you if you do it. Well, the happiness that he was talking about was really the same thing he was talking about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, was loving your enemies and doing good to those who spitefully use you, because the classic example, the epitome of everything that he was talking about was sitting in front of him. Judas had not yet left the room. He was still part of everything that Jesus was saying and doing. And Judas became a part of that foot washing. Jesus went to him just like he went to Peter. Peter said, you're not going to do this. And Jesus said, oh yeah, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, Peter. But after you're born again, you'll understand. But Judas was in that whole bunch, that whole mix. Verse 18 says this, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him who sent me. Now, turn with me to, we've went over some of this before in the past. We're going to be brief on this because we're going to receive communion. But Psalms 55. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're here this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue to pray with me. Stretch your faith this way. Father, we thank you for everything that you're going to do. I receive grace for grace. I receive, Lord, what you're desiring to do and to work in this service this morning. And Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. And everybody said, amen. Psalms 55, and we're not going to go into the fullness of it, but actually, it's the prelude. Psalms 41 talks about, gives the verse. It's a coinciding kind of chapter. It's all talking about a time where it was the prophecy of what was taking place in that upper room where they were having that communion service. Psalms 55 was something that David lived through. It was an offense that took place among his kingdom. It was an offense that took place, you might say, in the church of Israel at that particular time. But as a result of it, David was able to get past it. Now, David went through one of the greatest times of struggles, of having an offense that he ever went through, when the rebellion of Absalom, his son, came about. Absalom, his son, began to try to take over his kingdom and rear up a rebellion. But the worst part about it was he actually brought into effect a man that was part of David's right-hand men. And I can't pronounce the man's name real well, but I'll just say as close as I can, it's Ahithophel. Turn to your neighbor and say Ahithophel. The amazing part about this guy, and we broke it down before, was that he had a son, Eliam, who was a part of, he was part of David's, really, I think he was part of David's 30 high-class generals. He had a son. Eliam had a son. His son's name was Uriah. Uriah had a wife. Her name was Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was the lady that David actually committed adultery with. And as a result of it, we understand that the kingdom, God forgave David's sin, but some things started happening that as a result of it later resulted in the rebellion of Absalom and all of his regime coming to pass. Well, what happened was as a result Isaiah or Psalms 55, David writes out of that whole time. And he says, verse 1, so we'll just read it. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and I make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. How many have ever said, God, if you don't deliver, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. I want out of this. If I could escape, I would. Lo, then would I wander off and remain in the wilderness. He says, Selah, calmly think about this. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night, this rebellion that was taking place, they go about upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof, and deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not, this is what David is writing about. He says, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. How many of you know that the greatest offenses that you'll ever fight in this life is not with somebody that you don't know. It's with somebody that you do know. It's with your family. It's with those who trust you and you trust them. It's those that you walk and eat your bread with, and those that normally that you have the greatest love and admonition for. Those are the ones that normally, if Satan can do anything, they're the ones that he'll use. So David goes on to say here, it was my, verse 13, but it was that thou, a man, my enemy, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. One of the things that we find out here, and if I've studied this several times before, and I've read commentaries on it, although you don't get a lot of everything out of the commentaries, this is a psalm, they said, that was written concerning his relationship with this man, this counselor. What was amazing to me was the offense that took place and hid itself so long. The offense was based on the reputation, obviously, of David doing something that discredited his granddaughter, which was Bathsheba. And as a result of it, this man that David trusted, which was his counselor, this man that was in his kingdom that he brought into his inner courts with, and he really had fellowship. We even went into the house of God together at times and worshiped. And how many of you know if the enemy can, he'll bring a division among the believers? That's what he's really wanting to do. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Because what Jesus did was when he went to Judas sitting in that whole circumstance. Judas is just hours away from betraying him. How many of you know that Jesus would have forgiven Judas for betrayal? I mean, is there anything that he can't forgive you for? Well, I mean, Peter did the same thing Judas did. He did the exact same thing. Judas really didn't do any more than what Peter did. Jesus bent down, and when he washed the feet of Judas, he was washing off the betrayal. He was saying, look, to all humankind. Well, it was prophesied in the Psalms that he took his meat with. This was stereotypically, it was in David's relationship with this man, this counselor that he had. And it was a great offense that took place among them. But David sought for the whole thing to be healed. David sought it. But it prophesied really to a time where Jesus would stand before humanity and say, look, it doesn't matter what is working among you. To do my sayings is this. let all of betrayal, let all offenses, let anything that could come and hinder your relationship one with the other, let it always fall over on me. Let it always be washed over on me. And how many of you know that is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ? This is why we take communion this morning. This is why we go to His continual, to His healing stripes. His healing stripes are not only just for your physical healing. It's for strife as well. Deuteronomy chapter 25 says this. Why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy 25. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we're going to the next level? We will not be stopped. Hallelujah. And one of the ways that we will not be stopped is we're going to continue to walk in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 1 says, if there be controversy between two men. Now this is a shadow of the time in which Christ would come. And they come unto the judgment. How many of you know that He was judged for us? That the judges may judge them. Then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he shall give him, and not to exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto him. This is a prophecy of the stripes of Jesus Christ, and it was all based on strife. What could be healed as a result of it? Listen, when we take communion this morning, we're building our church upon a rock. The winds have come. The winds have blown. I'm telling you, they're there. But one thing that we know that reason why we will not fall is this. We build it upon His sayings. And His sayings is this. We're going to love each other. How are we going to love each other when there comes opportunities of strife and division? We're going to go right back to where all this started from. The stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ were taken so that we continually walk in a place of healing and forgiveness. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, they don't even come here. It doesn't matter. It could be a family member. It could be your boss. It could be your employee. It could be your partner. It does not matter. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have an opportunity to continually apply to those healing stripes. Why don't you just stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we're going to give you opportunity to come forward. And I'd say this, gather with each other, pray for one another, and pray mostly. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through, this, that, and the other, but take this opportunity to say, Lord, I'm applying to Your healing stripes. It's not just in the body, it's probably mainly in those healing places of the emotion and of the mind. So go ahead, lift up your voice. Thank you, Jesus. I glorify You. I glorify You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.